Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. All right, welcome to episode 232. We're going to talk about a few different things. Coming up, we'll get with Lauren Elena. She has a new EP that's out called Getting Good. She's in LA right now and probably in the back of a car. We'll also talk about musicians who made it later in life. You know, I think most of us assume people are teenagers or young 20s before they blow up and make it. A lot of them aren't. One of them was 65 and they're super famous and they didn't make it till 65. So we'll get into that. You know, there's also another part of music that is called sync music. And I actually want to play this song. This is from a band called Outskirts. Mike, if you'll play some of this. This is called Born for This.
Taking off the gloves, I've had enough. It's in my blood. I was born for this.
Do you know who sings this, Mike?
I do.
Yeah, who?
Brandon Ray.
Brandon Ray is the lead singer of Outskirts as well. Brandon, are you guys even a real band or is this just for sync?
All right, so we started writing for TV, film, and sync, and, you know, we wrote about 20 to 30 songs for whether it was for commercials or whatever, but we kind of landed on this sound, this hype rock sound for, you know, different promos, sports promos and everything, and we started writing one, then we wrote two, then it turned into 10 songs that started getting placed on TV.
And so explain to our audience what a sync song is.
So sync is short for synchronization. Basically, a song that is synced to a TV show or a moving picture, you know, which is, you know, a commercial or a TV show or a movie. And there's different kinds of syncs. TV film, that's whatever you would see inside of a TV show. Or a movie, and then there is an ad placement, which is any commercial, radio, or TV.
And so this song here, which, by the way, dude, I love this song. This might be one of my favorite songs you've ever put out. Because
whoa, thanks, man.
It's kind of the hype jam. Like, it's like, if you like Imagine Dragons, which I do, it's like that kind of white guy football. You know,
there you go. Yeah, exactly.
It's like if I'm MMA, that's what I'm be listening to. There's definitely a need for this, and even in my playlist, I just actually posted on my Instagram story and was like, "This is my hype song right now." Mike, do you play it again? Can Brandon hear that through his phone?
He should be able to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, this is jam. That's a jam. And so what was that put in?
So that was NFL Network used that for all of their Super Bowl promos the week of the Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool that you get to see your song in promos for NFL football.
It was wild. My wife, it was the first time my wife actually thought I was cool. So,
And so he's writing songs for his band, which is Badlands Sons. He's writing songs for other artists. And now when you write sync songs for TV or film, do you go in with that in mind?
Yeah, you kind of go in with, okay, there's somebody editing a piece of film together. You know, there's somebody putting all this stuff together. So you have to give them edit marks, like at the end of a chorus, you know, at the end of that one, it ends with silence before it goes into the second verse, just to give an edit mark. And I'm kind of new to this. I've been doing it about a year. I used to do it 10 years ago in LA when I had a rock band. So getting back into it is a little bit different, but man, it's just kind of the same thing. Like with hype rock, with, you know, whatever you're doing, you just got to give them a hook, to either talk around or build the moving picture around.
Is it called hype rock?
I call it, some people call it hype rock. Some people call it swagger bomb rock. We kind of, you know, followed in the footsteps of bands like Imagine Dragons, X Ambassadors, The Score. You know, and what's crazy is we came out with it Friday and we landed like the biggest, independent, workout playlist there is. It's called, Training Workout Motivation. It's got like 200,000 followers. But yeah, people love to work out to this stuff. And
I love the song. Well, I'm not kidding. I love the song.
Good, man. I got 10 more I'll send you.
I think it's so good. So it's Outskirts but without an I? Is that what it is?
That's right, yeah. Outskrts.
And Brandon is actually with his band, Badlands Sons. And so that's the one you actually exist in. Outskirts doesn't really exist, but Badlands Sons is your band that you go out and you play with, right?
Yes. So in country music, you know, I had a solo career and decided to make the move to create a band. And, you know, we've had two songs come out the past 2 months, one with Lucy Silvas called Crowded House, and then another we just came out with called X's. And we're starting to, you know, book dates coming up in the summer, you know, country festivals and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, check out Badlands Sons. I'm a big fan of Outskirts, got to be honest with you.
Thanks, man.
That song is, you know, and I haven't heard like that hype rock stuff in a while. That, you know, it's like Limp Bizkit without the rapping.
There you go, and we both love Limp Bizkit.
That's true. I do love Limp Bizkit, and you can make decent money writing this stuff for TV and commercials and stuff like that.
You can. You actually can, and I had no idea until we just started giving it a shot and getting to know, you know, music supervisors and my publisher at Warner Chappell has just been phenomenal at connecting us with those people.
Who would we need to get permission from to use that song in our podcast?
You're totally allowed to
use it. Yeah, but you don't own it all, do you?
Well, yeah, me and Christian Hale, the other guy, we own the master. So,
Mike, let's see what that rule is, because I kind of like this song.
Yeah,
as like as something. I don't know yet, but as something.
I can give you Katie Jellin's information at Warner. She'll gladly give you permission. You can do whatever you want.
All right, we'll follow up on it. All right, dude, Brandon Ray Music, right? That's your Instagram?
That's it.
All right, at Brandon Ray Music. Good talk to you, bud.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
And check out Outskirts and Badlands Sons. All right, there's Brandon Ray. Before we came on, dude, play that song again. You don't feel it, huh?
Let me play it again.
The gloves I've had.
Play it from the very beginning here.
Okay.
It's the whole vibe of it. I'm into this. If you didn't know, wouldn't you think this was like you're walking down the tunnel about to go out to the game?
It sounds like the song on like a Madden menu.
Yeah, that's exact. Yes, yeah. Perfect. The Madden menu. The underdog fighter. Ring the bell and it's down they go. Taking off the gloves, I've had enough. It's in my blood. I was born for this. Hooky, catchy. I don't know why. I love it. All right, there you go. Check it out. Outskirts. That's called Born for This. We're going to get into the rest of the podcast in a second. What's cool is Mike D has a movie podcast. What's the newest one that went up?
I'm talking about musicians who tried out to be actors.
Good and bad?
Yeah, whether they succeeded or just kind of flopped.
Okay. Did Garth ever act?
No.
I know that Chris Gaines was supposed to be a movie.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like a whole movie thing, and it got shelved.
And then there were some roles that, like, Twister.
Yeah, he was supposedly cast in that and turned it down.
So he never actually went into
never
it.
Went into anything, no.
Who would have sucked? Like, Justin DeKelly. Yeah. Were they on your list?
No, because that was really just one movie they did.
Oh, they needed multiple movies.
Yeah. I did some with one movies, but I kind of put them in a different spot.
Britney Spears?
She did one, Crossroads.
And then the good ones, and I don't know who's on your list here, but Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's like the biggest one.
He's like a music guy who did movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wahlberg. Don't tell me, hold on. Who else would be a music person?
It's a really big one.
Ludacris,
yeah. Fast and the Furious.
Anything else? Chris Isaac? But I guess more TV.
Yeah, more TV. I focus on movies. And then Will Smith.
Oh, the biggest one. Yeah. That's the biggest
That's
one.
That's the biggest one, yeah.
That's the biggest one. Check out Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. Google that. Search that. Not Google it. Just search it. Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'll tell you, Caroline Hobby. Sorry, my coronavirus got in my throat.
Yeah, I got it there. Got to get that corona out.
Oh, Caroline Hobby has a podcast called Get Real with Caroline Hobby. They did a really cool live podcast where they went out, and it was Kane Brown's wife, Caitlin, and Jason Aldean's wife, and Brittany. And they did a whole thing. And by the way, I hear she made some pretty good money doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good for her. I know some people were like, she made money doing that? I'm like, yeah, good. Hit it. Go make all the money you can make.
You're a live one.
I'm a capitalist. If you can make money, go make money. And hopefully you're able to get back some too at some point. But you can make money, go make money. She got a kid. She got a husband. I don't know, providing food. I'm just saying she got a husband. So yeah, check it out. Check out Get Real with Caroline Hobby. And then The Velvet's Edge with Kelly Henderson. There's a lot over on the network. And I appreciate you guys hanging out. Do you have the Drake?
I just flipped the switch.
I switched off of it.
Flip.
Let's see.
So this is right now a TikTok. And you're seeing a lot of people, one person in the bathroom right next to the switch, one person behind them, and they flip the switch and they come up and they're doing the reverse thing. It's been on TikTok for like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So much so that I thought it was gone.
Yeah, it went away. And it's like back again.
And now it's back, I guess, because J-Lo did it.
J-Lo and A-Rod, yeah.
Did she bring it back or did they do it because they saw someone else do it?
I think that's the first one I've seen in a while, so I think it was her.
Well, now it's back and everybody's doing it. It's funny how TikTok now can roll over into the other social medias.
Like everything else?
Like Instagram, Twitter, because a lot of people don't have TikTok, but some people are still trying to do this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just flipped the switch.
You like J-Lo and A-Rod or no?
Not really.
Me either.
I don't know. I'm not that interested in them.
Do you have any couple that you like?
I like Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin. I follow them both on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're cool to follow. I think they're interesting.
My girlfriend goes to church with them. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Says they're super nice.
They seem pretty genuine on...
She says Haley's the nicest person ever. And that Justin's super nice too. And it's like super approachable. And I think Justin like plays soccer in the church soccer team. And they just go out and play. What it sounds like is he's completely inaccessible when he's big star Justin Bieber. But when he's normal dude, he just does normal dude things and nobody bothers him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll just be out at the soccer field where anybody could go up. And Justin Bieber's out there just playing soccer.
That's crazy.
And he's just at church where anybody could get into. Like, they don't have rules. You just go into the church. So it seems like it's two ways. It's either you can't get to him because he has tons of security and it's like he's Justin Bieber, the superstar, or he's just Justin the dude and he's just out doing normal life things.
It's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, you can just go in there. It's Justin Bieber at church.
Yep. See, and now I'm like that too, where I'm just normal Bobby and nobody cares, and there's also normal Bobby where nobody cares. That's the two. Those are the two things I'm doing. Always... all right, here you go. This is a pretty fun episode. We kind of strung together a few cool things with Brandon, Lauren, and then artists who didn't make it until they were older in terms of making it in music and how people feel at what age they should make it. So check it out. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for sharing the podcast. Thanks for tagging us on Instagram story, and I hope you enjoy it. Here you go. Hey.
Hey.
What's happening?
Just just riding in a car in LA, which is really fun to do.
Oh, I get so car sick.
I get really car sick too.
When I think about being in Los Angeles, like that's the feeling that comes into my body is sitting in the back of an Uber, just wanting to be out of it and nauseous.
Yeah. Yep. That's what's happening to me currently.
Where are you going tonight?
I am going to film with Mule. Is that how you say it? That app where you sing and the fans can sing with you.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You're going to the place
to
sing?
I guess their office and filming it.
Oh. Well, for them. I wanted to bring you on and talk about your new EP.
Yes.
Which I think we should do a quick introductory of what exactly an EP versus an LP is, because I think we throw these letters out thinking that everybody understands, but until someone explained it to me, I didn't know the difference. Do you know what an EP versus the LP is?
EP stands for extended play.
Nice. And it's the shorter one.
Yes. Which doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, but when you hear LP, which stands for long play,
mm-hmm.
Right?
I guess it does make sense.
If it's just extended play, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I am more of an EP guy whenever it comes to artists releasing music, because I feel like I need 4, 5, 6 songs to digest and really pay attention to every song. Was that in mind whenever you put out the EP?
Yeah, and I just think people are consuming music so differently now. I've been working on the album for a while, and I'm not done with it. I just wanted to get music out. I was ready to get some music out. We did the headlining tour, and I sang these 6 songs on the tour, and then I realized no one had access to the songs, and I was like, this is not good. So I just wanted to put it out and get some music out. And I think people can digest it a little bit better than 12 songs all at one time.
And I'm all for an album if it's for like my very favorite artist, right? But it's hard for people that aren't the absolute favorite artists of most people to become that favorite artist. And if you were to put out 12, 13, 14 songs as a new artist or kind of a middle artist, people aren't going to sit, they're not going to hear a lot of the songs because they're going to catch a couple of them and just go to the next thing. And I feel like a lot of songs go to waste because of that.
Agreed.
Well, tell me about your favorite song if I were to play one of them that you like the most.
My favorite song on the EP?
Right now. It can change, but what is it right now?
Somebody Else's Problem.
Oh, Somebody Else's Problem. That's a good one. Tell me about that one.
It's a breakup song. It's a very sassy breakup song. And I would say that this song represents my personality the best. It's kind of sarcastic, and you get a sense of who I am when you listen to it, I think. And I've been through a couple of breakups in the last few years, so I think it's time for me to put out a breakup album.
Did you write the song or find the song?
Yes. I wrote the song with Jeff Warburton and Jesse Frazier.
And so when you go into the room to write this song, was it fresh? Are you going to say after which breakup, or was it kind of an encapsulation of both?
No, I don't even know if it matters.
Okay. Hey, listen, I got to ask the question, Lauren. You go into the room, and what do you say in the room?
Well, I was driving a Kia, Bobby, and I drove my Kia until it stopped working. And I was like, I think I hold on to things longer than I should. And I've really got to learn when it's time to let something go. And I was just talking about my original idea. I had that, the idea with the car and all of that kind of written down in my notes section. And I was like, I hold on to things longer than I should. And I had the idea, it's time to treat my heart like that old car, and I'm going to let you start being somebody else's problem. And my original idea, I was going to do a bunch of different examples. And then when I got in the room with the guys, they were like, I think we could just stick to the car theme because it's pretty cool. And then we did. So we compared love to a car that's breaking down.
You know, it's always interesting to hear, too, like when a song like this comes out. How long ago was this song written versus how long did it take for it to come out?
Well, that would answer one of those questions.
Oh, you don't even want to say. I bet you I could probably go to the publishing of it, huh? I won't,
no,
Lauren.
I wrote it. Gosh, I don't even know when I wrote it, honestly.
Over a year ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about Country and Me.
Oh, that's my that was the other one I was going to say was my favorite.
Well, that was my favorite one. That's why I was asking.
Okay, maybe Country and Me is my favorite too. I don't know. I love them all. I'm really proud of all of them. Country and Me is a love song. It's about new love. And it's about a guy that reminds you of where you came from. And I had such a southern raising, and I really wanted to tap into that for the new music. I wanted to make sure that I gave a nod to where I came from a little bit more than maybe on my last album. Because I've spent a lot of time at home in the last couple of years with my family and friends, and I have been wanting to write about them, and I was writing about someone who brings that out in you. Not about anyone specifically, really, but...
Whenever you played a bunch of these new songs at your show, which one did you feel like got the best reaction night after night? New stuff.
Probably Somebody Else's Problem.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's a really good live song. It feels good. You kind of, Country and Me was good live too because you can sway to it, but Somebody Else's Problem makes you want to like dance and throw your hands up and have a good time. So I would say all of them went over well, though. We opened the show with In My Veins, so I don't think people really got to spend a ton of time with that one, you know? And then Somebody Else's Problem was in a prime spot in the set. I introduced the band on it. I set it up really well and made jokes about the car reference. So I think, I don't know why.
I'm curious about how you put together a set list. Your first song on your tour, this last tour, was a new song?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, and it, I worked really, really hard on that set, but we played a video. So I did on my headlining tour, I did this video wall behind me, and I put together all this content. So even though it was the first song, they kind of had already heard from me by the time they heard the song, because it played a video before it to kind of connect with them. But I referenced it, and it just fit the first segment of the show. I did the show kind of like a play, and I did... I'm so sorry. We just got where we're going.
Oh, you're getting there?
They're having... No, I'm going to just get away from the conversation. Okay, so that they can talk.
Do you have to go through a guard gate? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know what we're doing. We seem to be on the side of the street. And now the door's open. I think we're going to sit in the car for a minute. Yeah, thank you. Sorry. No, you're good. Sorry, Bobby. I did the show kind of like a play where I had like three acts. And the first act was where I came from. So I did In My Veins and Like My Mother Does and Georgia Peaches and all of those songs kind of like the beginning of my career and where I grew up. So In My Veins was like the perfect kind of setup for that.
Well, before you...
And then...
Oh, go ahead.
And then I sprinkled the other ones, you know, throughout the other segments, so...
Well, let me say this. Lauren's got a new EP called Getting Good. Before you go, you will be the backstage announcer at the ACMs, which is pretty cool.
I'm pretty pumped about that.
What exactly
I'm
will you be doing?
Excited. So I'm going to be talking to people after they win their awards, hanging out with the artists backstage and kind of giving the fans a view of what it's like back there. And... I'm excited. I'm going to be announcing different categories and stuff. I'm pumped.
Now, with you traveling right now, are you worried about coronavirus?
Am I worried about the coronavirus? Yes, I would say. I'm not, like, overly worried about it because I feel like it's the flu. It's basically the flu except we don't have a shot for it, right?
But what if they said that everyone's getting the flu? Be super aware of the flu. Wouldn't you still be like, holy crap, I don't want to get the flu, like the real flu. I don't want to get the flu.
I don't like germs in general.
Yeah.
So I had wet wipes in my purse before the coronavirus broke out, and I'll have them after it goes away.
All right. Well, don't get sick. Wash your hands, and congratulations on the EP, Lauren.
Thank you, Bobby. You're the best.
All right, Lauren, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period, Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
All right, this is interesting. These are artists who made it later in life. Now, I don't mean like 80. I don't mean like right before they died, but I mean later than you would think, because it seems like most artists start at like 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, right?
Yeah, early on.
Not mid-30s and 40s.
A little more rare.
Yeah, and so these are some big stars too that started way later. For example, Chris Stapleton, who is now 41 years old, he really blew up when he turned 37. Chris Stapleton was a behind-the-scenes songwriter in Nashville for over a decade. He was lead singer in a bluegrass band and a southern rock band before he released his debut award-winning solo album at age 37. I would encourage you to go back and listen to the Bobby Cash with Robert Deaton, because Robert Deaton is the producer of the CMA Awards and talks about how Chris Stapleton got on the CMA Awards, which this performance is really what catapulted this song again to blow up, and then Stapleton to do the same thing. But was 37 years old when he really hit it as an artist. Sheryl Crow, 32 years old. She worked as a music teacher at a Missouri elementary school. She created commercial jingles for McDonald's and Toyota, served as a backing vocalist for Michael Jackson in the 80s, and really didn't get cracking on her first album until the early 90s. In 92, she recorded her first attempt at a self-titled record, but the label said nope. And still, though, the album started to be put out, and that was when file sharing started to really be a thing, or at least the early stages of people who knew how to get file sharing could get file sharing. And so that's when she got some attention. She released her first official debut album, Tuesday Night Music Club, in 1993, and became a breakout success at the age of 31, 32 years old. And here you go. Here's All I Want to Do, and the song. I love this record, one of my favorite kid albums. When I was 12 years old, this was it. I knew every song on it. I had a CD player, and I was like, I am so freaking cool. The first CDs that I had, though, were AC/DC, Ball Breaker, and Mariah Carey, Butterfly.
Butterfly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I had Sheryl Crow. The one that I listened to the most was Hootie and the Blowfish Cracked Rearview, which I later had to rebuy the cassette because the car that I bought was a piece of crap when I would drive it to football practice. So I had to get a cassette to listen to in the car. But then I graduated to a CD player that you would take a cassette that was attached to the CD.
Put in, yeah.
And you put the cassette in the cassette player and it played the CD player that you like taped or gunked to the dash. And it had this, you put the CD player on it and CD players would skip. If you're a kid now and you're listening to this, you would have a Walkman or a Discman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like ran with it and shook it, it would just skip. So what they did is they built these bases and you attach the base to your dash, but the base would shake. It allowed for some room, much like a shock.
Okay.
Oh, you don't know this?
Not entirely. I remember having like just the straight up tape deck that you would slide in.
Okay, it's
and
that.
Then plug into like the audio jack of a Walkman or something.
Well, the tape deck would plug into a Discman,
mm-hmm.
and you could open it up and actually play your discs through the car. And then it got to the point where you didn't want to hold your Discman all the time.
Yeah.
So you would take your Discman and you would put it on a base, and the base had a fixed base underneath it, but it had like shocks on it.
Okay.
So when you hit a bump, it would just like bounce instead of skip. But it still skipped like crazy.
See, I didn't know about the bass thing. By the time I got around to it, they already had like the anti-skip ones.
Well, and you're 10 years younger than I am, so you missed it. It was right when I was.
It sounds kind of awful, though.
Well, yes and no. Awful now. Back in the day, it was legit because it was the first attempt to not have CDs skip whenever you were driving your car. And 50% of the time it worked. And that was 50% more than it used to be. Also, when they had Discmans and they came out, mine was blown. Because the Walkman was a big deal.
Yeah.
And only rich people had Walkman. Only rich people had Discman. But I then had my own job. So when I was 16, I was working full time and I could afford a Discman. And so, legit, just changed the world. And I remember when one of my friends got a 5-disc changer.
Oh, I forgot about the CD changer.
Could not believe you could listen to 5 CDs at the same time. Are you out of your mind? And you just hit a button, it would skip to the next CD. Oh, I had the 7 Mary 3, cumbersome. And I had that disc. And I would listen to it, but only wanted to hear one song. So I have to get the disc out of the book, take the book out, put the disc in. And I have become cumbersome, do my work. And then I'd hear it and take it out, switch it out. But my friend had the same disc, and he would be like, when you're cumbersome, yep. The disc would, the Silver Chair CD would move out of the way and 7 Mary 3 would go right in. Yeah, it's pretty legit. But that was one of my first CDs. I would say one of my first 5 CDs was Sheryl Crow, Tuesday Night Music Club. Alan Jackson, he didn't have his first number one song until he was 33 years old. He's now 61. Growing up, Alan Jackson was primarily listening to gospel music. When he was 27, him and his wife moved from Newman to Nashville, Tennessee. So at 27, he thought, I'll go pursue music full time. In 1987, he cut an album titled New Traditional, did that at Doc's Place in Hendersonville, Tennessee, but it's so rare. It was only released in Japan. Now think about that. Alan Jackson, the only place this was released was in Japan, which you don't even know. I don't even know if they like country music over there.
I don't even know.
Or American gospel music for that. In 89, he released his debut single, Blue Blooded Woman. In late 1989, it didn't reach the top 40 in the Hot Country Songs. Don't Rock the Jukebox was the title of his second album. It was released in 1991. 4 number one singles. He also co-wrote songs on Randy Travis's 1991 album, High Lonesome. But here you go. Do you have some Alan Jackson?
Don't Rock the Jukebox.
There you go. Didn't have his first number one until he was 33 years old.
Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stone. I don't feel like rocking.
Next up, Willie Nelson, 40 years old. By the way, now Willie's 86. But Willie Nelson struggled for years as a singer-songwriter in Nashville. He moved to Austin, Texas, started the outlaw country movement. He was 40 when Shotgun Willie came out, which cracked the Billboard Hot 100. Here you go.
Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear.
Listen to the horns. What's funny is when Lady Antebellum or Thomas Rhett put horns on records in the past few years, that ain't country. Who puts horns on country? That's not country.
And
Johnny Cash and Willie, they all. It's that really, that's a trigger for me when people go, that ain't country. But yeah, so in the documentary, did you watch the country music documentary?
No.
They do a lot of Willie Nelson talk, and you know, Willie didn't make it until he was 40, but he was like a nerdy little songwriter in Nashville, more like a suit and tie and like, you know, always down on Broadway. Once was so disappointed and sad, he just laid in the middle of the street and was like, I'm done. Luckily, no car hit him, but just a nerdy little guy. Then he moved to Austin and kind of, you know, restarted it because he couldn't get anything going in Nashville. Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
Old Dominion, the whole band, in their 40s.
Yeah.
Matt Ramsey's 44. Trevor Rosen's 45. They've been a band since 2007, but their first hit came in 2015 with Break Up With Him. They were all in their late 30s and 40s, which I think they're very appreciative of it now. And they've written a bunch of songs for other people, but, you know, they couldn't make it work as artists. What's crazy is that's a lot of songwriters, is they couldn't make it as artists, so they end up being really great songwriters. And I hate to put anyone in that spot where it's like they couldn't make it as an artist, but some of the best songwriters in town, like a Ross Copperman, I think he came to town and was trying to be an artist. And I know Ross a little bit. A lot of those guys were artists in some form or fashion early on, and they didn't make it. So like, well, I'll write songs too, and that's really where they thrived. But Old Dominion, the guys in their 40s. Toby Keith, age 29. There was a time in Toby Keith's early career where it was basically a hobby. He was in his late 20s. He signed with a record label. They were going to shelve his first album before his career even had a chance. At the time, he told himself if he didn't get his big break by 30, he was going to have to find work elsewhere. That 11th hour moment came in the form of an early morning phone call 18 days before his 30th birthday from a guy at Mercury Records named Harold Shedd, who was interested because he saw him perform after hearing one of Keith's demos. So he produced this Shedd guy with Alabama, KT Oslin, Kentucky Headhunters, Glenn Campbell, and others. So he works with them. Toby's about to quit and Should Have Been a Cowboy became his first number one in 1993 when he was 32 years old.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to road ride. Wearing my six shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart.
Well, one of my favorites, we'll move over to Bill Withers. You have a Bill Withers clip?
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
I think pound for pound, my favorite song ever.
I knew it is. Yeah.
This and Stop This Train, John Mayer, Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine. Bill Withers spent 9 years serving in the U.S. Navy before moving to Los Angeles to pursue music. He worked as an assembler for several different companies while recording demo tapes with his own money and performing in clubs at night. He released his debut album, Just As I Am, in 1971 at the age of 34. First record, 34. The album features Ain't No Sunshine. When he first debuted the song, he reportedly refused to resign from his assembling job right away because he believed the music business was a very fickle industry, which it is, by the way. Clearly, it all worked out. The single helped make Bill Withers the star. Do you have a Bill Withers playlist over there, Mike? Can you pull that up?
I'm pulling up.
And he eventually won a Grammy for Best R&B Song in 1972. But like, Use Me is the jam. And I hear a lot of great covers of people doing Use Me. Come on. Somebody should cover this right now. Like a country artist, one of these guys with like some soul. I think Darius and Hootie did a cover of this in the last 10 years or so. You know, I get so annoyed when the Peloton riders sing along with the songs.
Yeah.
They'll just be sitting there with that headset on, and it'll be like 90s rock. And they're singing every freaking word. I don't want to hear you sing, Peloton instructor. Just pedal. Just say motivational things. Run the class. This one girl just will not. It's like classic rock. She sings every song like we're watching a concert, like a Peloton instructor concert. I'm at 53 weeks in a row now, though, now.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Pretty proud of myself. 2 Chainz, the rapper. He didn't get a big break till 34 years old.
Different, yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm
before he was 2 Chainz, he was Titty Boy. He changed it to a more family-friendly name in 2011. And 34 years old, he released his 7th mixtape, True Religion. First one to make it on the Billboard charts. 2 Chainz now, been everywhere. He's 42. But yeah, when he was Titty Boy, couldn't get any work, really.
Not quite.
At 2 Chainz, 34, he could. Louis Armstrong. And Louis is super famous now. You'll know this song here.
Hello.
Maybe you won't know this song, but you'll know who it is. But he was 64 years old. What do you what else do you have from Louis?
Let me pull him up.
Do you have I see children cry, I watch them grow. But that Hello Dolly was from his album when he was 64 years old. You probably know him from this. But he was 64 when he hit, died at 69. So he didn't even get to hold on to that fame for very, very long. Michael Fitzpatrick of Fitz and the Tantrums. He had been working primarily as a recording engineer for years when he was forming the group. He was 40 years old when they released their debut album with their song Money Grabber. He's now 49 years old. I didn't know he was that old. Did you?
Yeah, I knew he was older. It's kind of the blonde, like the white hair kind of going.
Yeah, I see him, but I thought that was kind of a stage thing. I think they dyed it. Rachel Platten. She was 34 years old when she released the Fight Song EP, which had this song on it. She's now 38, but here's one for you. Pharrell had a real big career as a producer. Neptunes. He wrote and produced I'm a Slave for You for Britney. And he would have just died a producer that made it, he said. But he was 40 years old when Happy was released. He's 46 now, but that song's been out 6 years.
Yeah. He still looks like he's 20.
Yeah. And then finally, Sia. Sia worked as a backup singer for a lot of groups, including Jamiroquai and the 07s, which is the English group, and then released an album under her own name. It wasn't until she was 41 years old that she got her first number one single, Chandelier. Isn't that... No, I don't know if this is true or not. Why does she cover her face?
I think she didn't want to like associate her sound with anything. So she wanted just to be like blank.
She shows her face now.
Yeah, she shows
some.
It, but not when she performs still.
Is that the rule?
Yeah, on stage she always has the wig and covering her face.
I should do.
Cover your face?
When I do the radio show, just cover my face. That's a bunch of musicians who made it later in life. So I thought that was pretty cool. Don't forget you can follow Lauren at Lauren Elena on Instagram. Always good to talk to her. And you guys, please rate us, review us, and write in the comments that you like the podcast if you like the podcast. We just appreciate you listening. Tell your friends about it. Please post on Instagram story that you like listening to it. We'll get Kelsey Ballerini on real soon. She was going to come on. She got sick. And she was like, I'll still come over.
You're like, no.
Did I forward you the video she sent me?
Oh, no. I didn't see it.
I can play it. At least some of it. I know she probably doesn't want me to play all of it.
I'm sending you this in a video form so you can hear me. I'm a little ill.
And is yeah,
I heard it.
And she was like, I'll come over and do it.
I don't know, I'm supposed to Bobby cast with you later, which I'm down to do, but I'm giving you the option to opt out if you don't want this all up in your space. So let me know. I'm down either way. Just holler. Holler at your girl.
So I hollered at her and I was like, you stay home. I don't need that in my life.
I don't need
life.
Those nipples.
I ain't trying to get corona right now. That's what's up. Again, thank you guys. Thanks for listening to the Bobbycast. Appreciate you guys making us a successful music podcast. So if you have any ideas too, you should send them over to us, DM us.
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about that yet.
Yeah, at the Bobbycast on Instagram.
At the Bobbycast. Send us your ideas. All right, appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.